produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This radio program is produced by Kayla Padgett on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Welcome once again, my family. You are speaking to Pastor Roxanne live from Johannesburg in South Africa. I'm so excited to have a man of God in front of me. I've heard him preach. He is dramatic. He's a drama, but he's on fire for Jesus. So I'm going to ask him to introduce himself. I know him as Doctor, and I just call him Doctor. But there's more to this Doctor.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Nice meeting you this afternoon on this platform with Pastor Rose. And Dr. Bonner is my name, the leading pastor of Faith Life Ministry in Johannesburg.
Dr. Obano, did I say it right? That's not like Obama. What does Obano mean? I'm sure there's something about that surname. But wait, you told us you're Dr. Obano. What is your name? Is that your name? No, that's your surname. Am I right? What is your name?
Yeah, my first name is Sonny. So it's actually Dr. Sonny Obonna. Obonna is my surname. And Obonna is a name from West Africa. And they simply mean, actually not just West Africa, from the Niger Delta part of Nigeria. The Niger Delta part is from the, some say we are from the eastern part or whatever. But seriously, we are from the southern part of Nigeria. And it simply means, let it happen now. That is Obonna.
Did I hear you from Nigeria? So then can't you greet us? How do you say hello in Nigeria?
Well, seriously speaking, I wasn't raised back really in the home. We were raised in the city, so I adapt to English more often than the local language. That's the truth. So I don't know how to greet in my language. It's so shameful. I must go to my mom and learn this thing before she leaves the earth.
Let's hope your mom is not listening to this. But I can hear like an American accent over there. Did you hear Siri? Oh, my word. Okay, it's fine, Doctor. You are forgiven for your sins. Let's say that. But wait now. I'm going ahead of myself. So you say Dr. Sona,
S-O-N-N-Y.
Okay. I've heard you preach, and he is an anointed man. Wow. Give him the mic, and it's all on fire. But now, this is not who you were back then. You know, obviously, I want to know, because remember, this is who told you. So I want to know, take us back. Who were you that people don't know about? Who was, before you became doctor, who was Sona?
All right, Sonny Obonna, before now, before the church thing, during school days, I was actually born in the church. My mother, a deaconess in the church, my father, an elder before we lost him at a very tender age. But being born in the church really didn't make me a child of God or being born again. I was still sneaking to smoke marijuana, sneaking to do all sorts of things, chasing girls behind church and all that. And at the time in my life, after school, there was no job, so I had to resort to selling oranges on the street. In short, at the time, I was painting people's houses. I never learned it from anywhere, but just to make ends meet. We're painting people's houses. We're doing all sorts of jobs, and it got to a point I had to resort to being a taxi driver, you know, Sometimes you could just go out there and not getting anything to come home with, because the little thing you get, you have to give to the owner of the taxi and come home hungry. So I was once a taxi driver. It showed at the time I was actually a barber. I was cutting hair. I was cutting hair for more than a year. I wasn't the owner of the barbing saloon. You make money, then you share with the owner of the saloon as well, you know. So I've been struggling. And at the time in my life, I resorted to also train people how to drive. So while I was training one of this lady on this day on how to drive.
Wait. Hold up. So, oh, by the way, if you have just tuned in, you are listening to Finding My Way. And I'm here with a very interesting man. So now, if you just tuned in, this is his story. And we're going to stick to his story. He's from Nigeria, but he doesn't speak the language. Let's clear our throats over there. So, but his story is very interesting. So he was born in a Christian home. Okay, so was I. Good. But he sold oranges. Okay. And then from there, he went into painting jobs. So you sound like a man of many trades. But from what I can understand, that you would grab whatever you could to make money because of the situation and circumstances. Doctor, would you say that at that time you were living in were you living in poverty, that you would grab everything just to make money? I mean, taxi driver, painting, selling oranges. What was your circumstances that drove you to just take anything just to make money?
All right. Lack of money was part of it. But majorly, we were raised to be entrepreneurs. If it is not working here, you must put your hand there to make sure it works. So we are raised to hustle. We are raised not to sit back and wait for someone to feed you, wait for someone to take care of your needs. We are raised to really go out there and make it work. If I may use this word, we are raised to be hunters.
But hold on. You mentioned that you were doing some naughty stuffs, like ungodly stuff. You were smoking what?
Wow. Yeah, I was smoking marijuana, you know. I was taking other hard drugs, but, you know, it took the mercy of God to be delivered from those things.
So you were smoking, how do you say it?
Okay, marijuana, whatever you may call it.
Marijuana. So that, from my understanding, is not a liquor thing to do. That's not a good thing. Am I right? Is this like a cigarette or something? But what got you into that? What got you into smoking those stuffs? Was it peer pressure? Was it for the fun? Was it for curiosity? Or was it just to impress girls?
Funny question indeed. But seriously speaking, it's not funny. I was doing it for highness. Because I wasn't bold to approach certain individuals at a time in my life. And friends said, hey, if you are not bold, you got to be high. When you are high, you can approach anybody. And I decided to go into it. I thought it was just for highness. Later, I saw it as an addiction. From highness to addiction.
From highness to addiction. That sounds like a book already. That's the title of a book. Let me just prophesy. Okay, so now let's fast forward. So you grew up, and did you experience a lot of poverty? Did you experience a lot of lack? But now also take us to the time you grew up. When, at what point did you find God? Did you understand that what were you currently doing is not where God has placed you? At what point did you decide to, okay, now I want to get serious about life. Let me find out about this God.
Thank you, woman of God. It wasn't really in abject poverty to say, at least my father was working. But when we lost him, my mom was the only one who was raising the family, raising the kids and all that. We felt being raised to be hunters. We cannot just sit back and watch our mom do everything. So we decided to go out there and be hustlers. Go out there and be hunters for real. And that is the spirit. While we were doing all of that and getting into all the dirty things. I actually chased a girl to church. Yeah. Sometime 92.
But no, wait, you mentioned hunter. I don't think that that's what your mother meant, hunting girls. So you took the hunting into another level. You've got stories, my brother.
Serious.
Yeah, sir, my mother doesn't mean, when she used the word hunter for us, hustler for us, not really to hunt after girls, but you know, young men, when they're growing up, you know, we want to test the other side of life. We want to, hey, let's check it out, what it is, you know, at that young age. So that was what pushed us into that.
Well, my brother, here in South Africa, we call such men playboys. So he was a playboy, running after girls. Oh, my word. And I hope somewhere, Lord, I hope the Lord came fast for you.
That was really a dirty one for me. I wouldn't want that to be in the line of my story, but it's already part of it, you know.
Yo, things are getting a bit heated up over here. Okay, doctor, let me move on. I can see things are getting quiet on the other end. So, doctor, when did who told you come? In other words, I'm trying to say that even though you grew up in your situation, you was a naughty boy, what we call it. And would you ever think that God would take somebody like you and elevate them to who you are today? When did you find God? What happened? When was the turning point?
You know, that is an experience I can never forget. Because when I preach to people, I say, if you can't remember the very day you had an encounter with Jesus, you never did. Because most time we hardly forget our birthdays. We hardly forget the day we get married. So if you can remember these things, a major encounter in your life. I remember on February, I'll be chasing this girl, and February she promised me, okay, if you can follow me to church till on the 14th of February, I was going to say yes to you. And on the 2nd of February, I was on one of their weekly service, midweek service, and this pastor was preaching, and the word really hit me really hard. Seriously speaking, I can't still tell while I was crying. I started crying. I was in tears. I was seriously in tears while I was crying. I can tell. And altar call was made, but being the big boy we used to pretend to be, I refused to come out. I was like, hey, I wouldn't want people to know that this guy is not a Christian, because I've been in church all my life. I've been in church. I play around the choir. I do all of that. So how could you just come and you say, no, today I'm going to receive Jesus. So I decided to sit back. But when I got home, I went back to my marijuana thing. You know, I wrapped the thing. I wanted to smoke, and I couldn't smoke it that night. I went for other cigarettes, tried to smoke something else. I couldn't smoke them. And the next day, foolishly for me, I went to pastor that I was sick. And he asked me, what are you sick of? I said, I'm sick of smell. I can't smell nice. I can't smell right again. And he asked me, okay, you actually pray for me. You actually pray for me. And while I was about to leave, he asked me, can you please tell me the things you used to smell right and now you can't smell them right? And I mentioned it. He said, what? I said, yeah, I smoked this thing and now it smells bad. He said, no, you were sick, now you are healed. If you can't smell it right and you can't take it again, that means God have just healed you of your sickness. So that was the day it happened to me, February 2nd, 1992.
February 2nd, 1992. But I'm very tempted to ask, because you mentioned something. You said, you know, you might forget your birthday. You might forget your anniversary. Ha, ha, ha. You can't forget your anniversary. Then you'll be in trouble with your wife. That's the one thing. Never, ever forget your anniversary. But wow, what an inspirational story. So you grew up in a church. You grew up knowing God, but yet you were doing your own things and nobody knew. And now suddenly God, a woman comes and inspires you, if I may say so, and then you found God. So, in other words, I'm saying, who told you? Who told you that God cannot take your mess into a message? Am I right? What would you say? Who told you?
All right. Before I bring it, the who told you thing, while you were speaking, you made mention of this. I've been in church, and yet I was doing all these things, and my parents were not even aware.
Wow.
I think that is why we, those of us who are parents or parents who are listening to this program, they must watch their kids, what they do, especially these days with this cell phone thing, this millennial thing. We must watch what they do with their phone. I'm not saying we must cage them. We must not deny them access to whatever. But we must watch what they do. We must monitor what they do.
That's very, very important.
Very important. Okay. Who told you? Now, coming to who told you. My past lied to me. I thought God cannot use somebody like me. I thought I was being lied to by my past. That I cannot be used of God. Being a playboy, being a smoker of marijuana. In short, I was denying the calling. When they were to ordain me a pastor, as a pastor, even being a Christian, I'm still afraid if God will accept me in heaven. You know, until the assurance of salvation we're being taught us, then we have to believe that, okay, with this assurance of salvation by the death and the resurrection of Christ, and that we accept, we identify with his death and resurrection, we are then saved. If not, I was still saying, hey, this guy who was this dirty cannot be used of God. So wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice, whatever you've been through, don't ever believe that is the end of your life. Who told you?
So today you are this anointed and appointed doctor. Tell us, who are you today? What is your qualifications? Where have God has taken you from glory to glory? Who is Dr. Sonny Obana today?
All right, Dr. Sonny Obana is not a medical doctor, if you may think so. Well, I actually acquired my doctorate from the Gbenedion School in University, and that was for a doctorate for human management and theology. And before then, I have acquired a diploma in electrical engineering, and that was what led me to working with the Sea Petroleum and Gas Company for a couple of years before I resigned in 1997 into full-time ministry.
Wow, from selling oranges to now a list of all of those qualifications. Indeed, that's the power of God. Indeed, that is the hand of God. And I'm sure that your mother's prayers have been carrying you. So today, doctor, there's somebody out there that's listening. Somebody out there that has been probably in your situation or maybe close. What advice would you give them? What advice would you give parents? Because you mentioned about parents, number one. What advice would you give a young man who's trying to come up in life? What advice would you give them? And if possible, doctor, do you have a scripture that you can leave with us? What scripture carried you through? Perhaps your favorite scripture, if possible.
All right. For parents, I think just taking our kids to church is not enough.
Yes.
Because someone can be used to the church and not be used to Jesus. Someone can know the church and not know Christ. I think we need to lead our kids to Christ. I think parents need to do that. But in the absence of that, I think we need to share scripture with our kids, try to know what they do, the people they meet, the kind of friends they mingle with when they go out there in their schools, in their job, or whatever. I think parents need to do that. Now, for the younger ones who are coming, I think with this scripture which had helped me, when I read Matthew, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let's not come to church with the intention of God give me a car, God give me a job, God heal my body. Let's come to church with the intention of I want to know Jesus. If we can come to God with the intention of I want to know God for who he is, then these other things, the car, the job, the healing, and the promotion, whatever, we follow. So I think young men need to sit back and actually learn the lesson of the process. There is a promise to bless you, but there is a process to get to the blessing. But unfortunately, our eyes is always on the promise, and we don't want the process. And I say to people, Wherever you see the glory, look for the story. If I may say this, in the year 2011, I actually paid some money into the College of Bishops, you know, fill the form and register to be consecrated a bishop. And a night of the consecration, some of the guests were already in town. I perceived in my spirit I was doing the wrong thing. I'm not saying being a bishop is a wrong thing, but I perceive I was doing the wrong thing to take the office of a bishop. And I canceled the appointment a night to the consecration. Not minding the money I've paid, I told myself, what are you going to be a bishop for? For the title, for the position, for the name, calling? No, do the work, not the title. But these days, people want the position, they want the title. So young men must sit back and work, and work, and work. According to the book of Ecclesiastes that say, the young men must sit down and work today to eat tomorrow. And the Bible also say, he that works not, that is lazy, shouldn't eat. So I wonder where they get this prosperity without sweat from. Where we have to say to people, God will bless you, no minding whatever. If you don't have a job, there's miracle coming your way. I don't believe in that. People must work. People must put their head down and study. A whole lot of young men in the street these days, they don't want to work, they don't want to study, they don't want to do anything, but they want the money. Praise God. Wonderful be coming your way. I believe God has blessed you today. So wherever you are hearing the sound of our voice, God can use you. God can do anything with you. God can pick you from the backside of life and bring you to the front side of life. That is all I think this program is all about. God can bring you from the backside of life and bring you to the front side of life. He can take your mess and make a message out of it. God bless you.
Wow, that was a mouthful, and that was so powerful, Doctor. You are really inspirational, and I'm really touched by listening to you. I can listen to you all the time. Praise God for that. So, Doctor, we're going to close in prayer, and I want you to close in prayer thinking of someone who out there is listening to this. We have lost hope. We have lost peace. Who has said, you know what, or even somebody who's saying, I want to come back to God's fold. I want to experience what you experience. And who's saying, Doctor, you are so right. I am being brought up in a church, but I don't know Jesus. Can you pray for them?
Masu telebo kohi vadana ko shelebe dionia kabosia dalabala ya kandobre vofsia bahada ya makabari ya badobo shibria da bahaya hali le musu frete libra hasa telebo hoko filia mahande de hesia i kofresha talabra hasu freda bahi kruma hisla bahi no moheshe jigede siva he ka proto se frate lomo sia la hando ko prestisifia. I decree and declare the word of the Lord over your life wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice. I ask that the same God who brought me from nothing to where I am, may the same God reach out to you. Wherever you are today, being in the church or having the Bible is not salvation, but having Jesus. I therefore decree and declare and pray for you that the same grace that brought me from sin to being a saint, from the backside of life to the front side of life, from the mess into the message that I carry today, the message of Jesus, I am asking that this same grace be extended to you in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to serve Jesus. Those of you who are in church who have said, I have received Jesus, but I struggle with my life and in serving God, I am asking that you receive grace to restore back your fellowship with Jesus, to restore back your life of prayer, to restore back your life of study. Receive the fire of revival wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Receive hunger for the things of God. Receive hunger for fellowship. Receive hunger for the word. Receive hunger for prayer. Receive hunger to meet with Jesus, to fellowship with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we declare the word of God over your life wherever you are. Wherever you are sick in your body, receive healing in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. May your life never remain the same after today. It is well with you. May God pick you from where you are and make you that which he has designed you to be. In the name that is above every other name. Amen.
That is so powerful. Doctor, please tell us, you are a pastor. What is the name of the church that you're pastoring? And if somebody wants to come and visit, where can they find you?
All right. We are from Faith Life Ministries International. Faith Life Ministries is based at number 24 Main Street with Feed Busbeck, or just right opposite the spa. That is where Faith Life Ministry is. We fellowship on Friday, 5:30 p.m. for the Word and Power section, and on Sunday morning, a prophetic and celebration service, 10 a.m. God bless you. Thank you.
Doctor, can you give us, if somebody wants to contact you, where can they contact you?
Oh, you can reach us on this cell phone number, +2772-752-6806. Okay, I come again. +2772-752-6806. God bless you.
Doctor, it is such an honor and pleasure to be sitting and to listening to you. You are such an inspirational man, from selling oranges to now see where God has elevated you. Once again, family, you are listening to Finding My Way, the most motivational, inspirational radio station. This is Pastor Roxanne Maestri signing off live from Johannesburg, South Africa. Until we meet again, shalom.
This radio program was produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.